1. People designated female at birth regardless of their gender identity. 1.1. The athlete may not take testosterone hormone therapy. Athletes transitioning to male who undergo hormone therapy will be ineligible to compete. 2. Those who transition from male to female are eligible to compete under the following conditions. 2-1. The athlete has declared that her gender identity is female. The declaration cannot be changed for the sporting purposes for a minimum of 4 years. 2-2. The athlete must demonstrate that her testosterone level in serum is within typical limits of women athletes. 2-3. The athlete's total testosterone level in serum must remain in the typical range of women athletes throughout the period of desired eligibility to compete in the female category. 2-4. Compliance with these conditions may be monitored by testing. In the event of noncompliance, the athlete's eligibility in the league will be suspended for 12 months. Those are some of the new rules for the National Women's Hockey League. Taking from Yahoo Sports here, a couple things to point out. For athletes who are transitioning to male, they cannot take testosterone hormone therapy while active in the league. This is not something new to the NWHL. These are some of the rules that they're putting in for transgender people to be able to play in the league. I think a lot of it is mostly for the ladies there that identify as a male. I think, for example, what's her name? Harrison Brown is the first transgender athlete in professional team sport. So it's a pretty sure it's a was a lady. Fuck, I don't know. And then he wants to be a male, but he can only take so much testosterone. This is where it's gonna get fucky, dude. And oh, you're in the basket. I wanted to try a different kind of opening there, so. But here's where it's going to get weird, man. He wants to be a dude, but still wants to play in the ladies' league? That's, if you were a dude, wouldn't you want to go all the way? And then in that case, sorry, Harrison, you're not fucking playing in the NHL. So then it's kind of like a fucking cop-out, man, that you're playing in the fucking NWHL. And then I don't give a fuck what you say, man. Say as today, if I decided, you know, well, there's no chance I'm playing in the NHL or AHL or any league. Or the NWHL, but I think I would have a better shot of getting in that league than any other if today I started transitioning, and then in 4 years, I take my fucking 6'5", 220-pound ass out there and compete. Yeah, my testosterone levels are going to be low, but that's a big girl, man. I don't know. This world is going in the shitter. Oh. Just the girls play in the girls' league and the boys play in the boys' league. If we had to make a transgender league. But hey, if everybody, their players, I don't know if they have a union. If they're all cool with it, who am I to fucking say? I can say here on the biscuit that I think it's fucking dumb. And then, you know, I'll get the hate mail, and then that'll be the end of it. I'm still a fan of the league. I still root for the whale, go whale. But I think a lot of this, and I tweeted it out, was trying to get headlines for headlines' sake. I don't think anybody was really worried about the transgender rules of the league that I mean, how many games have you guys watched of it or listened to or even knew there was a league? It's only been around for 2 years, yeah, but I think it was a way to get in the New York Times and on the Boston Globe, and it worked. And unfortunately, I wish it was for just really competitive women's hockey instead of a dude turning into a girl or vice versa, or somebody who, I don't know. You can go to NWHL.zone and read the rest of the rules. I'm not reading the rest of it. I just wanted to get you guys started and get that in your brains and maybe get some feedback from you guys. See if I'm just a fucking a bigot, or if you guys agree. Just think, if your daughter was playing and then she has to play me, I'm gonna fuck that bitch up, dude. I don't give a shit. If you take half my fucking testosterone, I have more testosterone than half the fucking bike riders floating around this fucking fairy world now. And speaking of the fairy world we live in now, Josh Anderson and homeboy from Boston, two grown-ass men, two dudes that have been in fights before. They know what it's like to be punched in the face. That it's not a surprise to them. They're aware of the consequences of taking off your mitts and punching somebody with your knuckles. So they get in a fucking scrum and they drop gloves. And the fucking ref just steps in and says, no, boys. Not on my ice. I didn't get it. I watched it several times over again. I was trying to get some fucking clarity from anybody. I haven't listened to Bobby Mack yet today, but I asked him about it. I asked you guys on Twitter. 92% of you fucking agreed that two grown men should be should be allowed to choose if they fight. And that's the This isn't a fighting podcast or an enforcer podcast, but Jesus Christ, guys, it's entertaining. They wanted to go at it. Let them go at it. And then against Minnesota, I didn't know this was a rule, but if there's a fight and then another fight, like it within said like time frame, like say, so Josh squared off with dude and knocked his ass out, and then immediately Matt Calvert and fucking Dumba go at it, and they both get ejected. That's new to me. I had no idea that that was a fucking real thing. I think that's pussy. Puss puck, man. It's fucking heartbreaking. And then look at how stoked people got that fucking, what's his name, Bekska fucking beat Wayne out of his shirt there against the Phillies. The old Ducks, dude. You gotta love them. They fucking throw down. They're fighting every game. If you're into seeing at least one, go ahead and turn on a fucking Ducks game. Do yourself a favor, you fucking faggot. Oh. Oh. That's an old goddamn garage England there. As cold as Mother Earth wants it to be. And it's got a little warm last week. So I think that's what I'm tasting in there. I gotta drink them though. There's like fucking 3 left. But it's gotta be done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 game motherfucking win streak. I was talking to some people today, and I don't think they plan on ever losing again. I think they're just going to go ahead, win out the rest of the year, raise the cup, and be known as the greatest team that ever fucking touched a stick, a puck, or a dude's face. Columbus Blue Jackets. Cheers, boys. Thank you. It's been remarkable. It's really fucking weird. Like, it gets to, like, the third period in these games, and you're just like, ah, well, they're going to win, so it doesn't really fucking matter. And they had another great week. Had some comeback. I think what they came back against Boston, and who'd they play there Saturday, huh? I don't know. It's been a long couple days for me. Get off my fucking back, man. I'll tell you about it later. Yeah, this one might be a little short. I got a lot on the old dome here, but I still wanted to record, and I'm recording this one. I think it's January 2nd. I'm having some technical issues again. Like I said, I'm a caveman. If all I had to do was stick this thing in a hole, I'd be up like fucking Flint. But I got to figure out some time fucking some issues there. So you're going to get, I think, two next week. Anyway, this is the one for the week of January 2nd. USA beat Canada, eh? Not surprised. Not surprised, motherfucker. Goddamn right. And talking about the World Junior Championships there, they, as of when I sat down today, they also beat the old Swiss there. So they're heading to the quarterfinals against Russia in Montreal. So watch that game. Root for the old red, white, and blue. And I saw some history of the World Juniors. It's called the Punch-Up in Pisany. I think that's how you say it. Look that shit up, dude. The game was called because every motherfucker on Team Canada and Team Russia just fought. I think it was back when Brandon Shanahan was a young buck there. There's videos of it. There's a whole Wikipedia page about it. This isn't the history of fucking hockey, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but do yourself a fucking favor and go watch it. It's P-I-E-S-T-A-N-Y. Pisany? Punch up in Pisany. They don't like each other. They haven't ever liked each other. And shit came to a fucking boiling point. And people got punched. Halak put on waivers. Nobody picked him up. Going to the AHL. Fucking crazy. I was dead wrong on that shit, man. When I saw that fucking dude play in the World Cup before the season this year, I was like, oh, God. Watch out for the fucking Islanders. And they're making me look like a real dick face. But somebody's got to pick him up, yeah? I don't know what he's worth, but dude can fucking play goalie. I don't think by any means the bad stretch he's had is a resemblance of his skill or what he can do in this league. I think he'll be back, and he'll be back in a big way. Who needs a goaltender right now? Dallas, for sure. Don't think Quickie's back, but homeboy out there seems to be doing just A-okay. I always think Winnipeg could use a hand or two out there. But besides that, man, I think everybody's really got their dudes, and they like them. Except for fucking New York. But he's not going to be part of it. They're weird. I don't know. Did you guys see that fucking Draper? And I think it was Roberts of the fucking Maple Leafs. Almost so close getting a fight during an alumni game. Holy shit, it was awesome. Dude, they were fucking whacking each other, talking shit. It was great. They talked shit from one corner all the way to their fucking bench. I think everybody was on their edge of the seat just waiting, like wanting to see fucking 2 50-year-old dudes just go. It'd be like fucking Chael Sonnen and Tito Ortiz, except on ice, baby. And that was the best alumni game I'd seen, and I think my favorite part of it was one of my new favorite hockey players of all time now is Lanny McDonald, when he slid across the fucking ice for a photo bomb while the Red Wings were getting their picture taken there. Also, if you haven't seen that, go watch that. It's fucking hilarious. I'm sure you don't recognize his name, but he's the dude with the fucking big mustache that played for Calgary when they won the Cup. He's a fucking beast, dude. He's fucking hilarious. And then to the real game, the Centennial game. Ooh, holy smokes. That had my fucking asshole puckered. Scored on the very last fucking second to send it to overtime. Anthony Mantha cementing that he belongs in the league, and if they ever set him back down, I'm going to fucking light Blashill's fucking pubes on fire. And then the Wonder Kid, Austin Matthews, the real Austin, the real deal Matthews, ended it in OT. Best outdoor game ever, hands down. There isn't even a second place. Absolutely incredible. You have to let them play again next year. It was remarkable. Fucking phenomenal game. That dude in the net for Detroit is very suspect. I'm worried about him. He seems to get very... I know it's only his fourth start, but act like you've been there before, man. He was getting flustered as fuck. He was making me real nervous. I peed a little bit. Kuro. You know who I'm talking about. I don't expect him to have a long career in this sport of hockey, in this league of hockey. I know we had mentioned the puss puck earlier, and for that, the fuck boy of the week is the NHL and the NHL referees. Let them fight, dude. This is bullshit. There you go. You guys are the fuck boy of the week. The Blues win the Bridgestone Winter Classic 4-1. Hitchcock loses with that hat. That fat, sloppy fuck, dude. Ugh. 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 Yeah, I'm fat shaming. Lose some fucking weight, dude. You're disgusting. And since they have the centennial for sure now, it's the 100 years, there's been a lot of videos floating around on the fucking internet there. Really, really cool clips. I don't know who's making them. I don't think the NHL is, but the one was to a Coldplay song. I saw that one on Bar South and Sally. And then another one just to some slow music. I think it was on like Sniper or some shit like that. But the one with Coldplay, dude, I teared up watching just the heroes of this game and how this game has evolved and little kids playing outside and how the talent is now. It choked me up, man. I got emotional. I really did. TBJ, who we got coming up this week? Tuesday, Edmonton. Wednesday, Washington. Saturday, the Rangers. I think old fucking Flat Earth Madia is going to the game Saturday there. So cheers, bud. Hopefully you're celebrating the fucking longest winning streak in NHL history with 17. We're not going to make it easy. We have to go through fucking McJesus and then through Ovechkin and the boys. So we'll see what happens. I'm really excited. I hope they beat it. I think they deserve it. I know they won it. So we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting week, a historical week in the sport we all love. 3 stars of the week. Austin Matthews, 3 games, all multiple point. The overtime winner, the aforementioned. Kid's a fucking beast. And he's American. I don't really like that he's from Arizona, but I don't have to like that, do I? He's fun to watch, man. Since his first game, he scored 4 goals until now, and he's beaten hand-quote original 6 teams on fucking outdoor games like a boss. And that was the most excited I've ever seen him get over a game. It was cool. I'm a fan. You're a fan. We're all fans. I'm signing. You're signing. We're all signing. Kreider gets the 2nd star of the week. 4 goals in 3 games. Don't give a fuck! Marc-Andre Fleury with the holy shit save to get him the 3rd and final star. Wowzers. Did you see that old fuck fly? Caught out of position. Fly. Hit the puck that was going to drop right down into his fucking net and just knock it out of the way. Remarkable shit, man. Good for you. I had a discussion earlier with a Penguins fan. I think he's in the right spot for right now. I don't know if he can handle starting a full season. And I don't think he minds as much as people think coming off in relief for Matt Murray. And they're really not going to mind it if they win back-to-back cups. Do I expect him to be a Penguin next year? No fucking way. Not a chance in hell. But I think they're going to ride it out this year. Unless I'm dead wrong. No MFM for the week, sadly. But I do got the league leaders. Points tied at 43. Evgeny Malkin and McJesus. Goals. Fucking Sidney Crosby, dude. Somebody give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that goals leader. Knock that faggot off there, dude. I'm sick of him. Assists, McJesus with 29. Plus minus, Suter, 26. Plus 26, not minus 26. Don't be a fucking idiot. Save percentage, 0.941. Dubnyk. Yeah, these are consistent, huh? Yeah, like I fucking shouldn't even read them, man. What am I doing? Wins, Bob, 24. That's your Bob, my Bob, everybody's Bob. Greatest goalie. He's got fucking more wins than a lot of teams. How's that feel? Oh, not too good, I bet. Oh. Pretty good to be a Blue Jackets fan right now. Pretty good to be a fifth liner there, fucking Wyshynski. I'm trying to think of a good name for that fucking dude. He was tweeting out during the fucking unsustainable, which we won against Minnesota. Which, cheers to them. Good for you. What did they get? To 10-game winning streak? Not quite 15, but fuck you later. And that game was intense. It was really fun. Really fun game to watch. I hope that they both stay as good as they are and the expansion buddies, and we can just keep battling it out. We need some goddamn rivalries, man. It makes it more fun. So he's the dude from Puck Daddy, always talking shit, and he said, "You are the third goalie." Dude, I know I could kick his ass. I just might have to. Goals against average, 1.75. Dubnyk. Shutouts. Dubnyk, 5. Fighting Majors, baby. My sweet baby bull. Sweet biscuit babies. Tied with Thorburn at 9. 9 fucking fights in 35 games. I guess that is a lot, dude. I've probably only been in 5 fights my whole life. That's like 29 years. So I guess I can't really say much. In closing, I would like to dedicate this episode to my stepfather, who unfortunately passed away 5:30 a.m. on New Year's Day. So after a pretty vicious battle with cancer that spread from his gut into his brain, to his body, he's finally at peace and went out. So this one's for you, Gene. You're a hell of a man. I love you to death. He did a lot for me and my brothers, so here's it to you. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. The biscuit. Love you guys. Bye.